You know, many of us dream of owning our own piece of land, a private retreat, maybe for hunting, recreation, or just cultivating it how we want.
Absolutely.
That vision of ultimate freedom, you know, the ability to control your own space, it's incredibly appealing, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah.
But that freedom, that sense of ownership, well, it often brings a pretty significant challenge, one people don't always expect.
Which is?
Trespassers, people
Yeah.
coming onto your private land without any permission. And look, it's not just annoying, it's actually illegal, and it can be genuinely damaging to the land you've put so much work into.
Right, damaging and just frustrating. And that's exactly what we're diving into today. Our focus is on practical, sort of layered strategies to keep unwanted people off your private land. We're pulling insights from an article called Managing Trespassers on Your Property. It's by Lara Herboldheimer from the AHLA blog, that's the American Hunting and Landowners Association blog, published back on July 31st, 2023.
Right, the AHLA. Good source. So our mission today really is to give you clear, actionable strategies based on what Herboldheimer outlines. We want to show why some common approaches might not be enough and what actually, really makes a difference in deterring unwanted visitors.
And we also want to explore the bigger picture too, right? Not just for landowners, but maybe for people who might accidentally trespass.
Exactly. The implications for everyone involved. Okay, so let's get into it. Let's unpack this.
Okay, so first up, maybe the most obvious thing, signs. The article argues this is like fundamentally crucial, clear communication.
Yeah, no trespassing signs. Seems basic, but the article stresses they provide a really clear, easy-to-grasp message.
But, you know, in a world with online maps showing everything, and let's be honest, vandalism, how much can a simple sign really do on its own?
That's a fair question. And the article doesn't pretend signs are some kind of magic bullet. It goes into detail, not just that you need them, but how to make them work best, especially against people who might ignore them anyway. Well, it's partly about the legal side, like establishing that a trespasser absolutely should have known they weren't supposed to be there. That means making sure the signs are clearly visible. Like you have to actively clear away brush or leaves that might cover them up over time.
Okay, visibility is key. Makes sense.
And placement matters too. The article suggests putting them up high, sort of out of easy reach.
Ah, so people can't just tear them down easily.
Exactly. And you need comprehensive coverage signs at every single entrance and exit, plus all along borders or fences on your hunting land.
Yeah, I can imagine how infuriating it must be to find your signs torn down or vandalized constantly. So putting them high, being thorough, those are really practical tips.
They are. It's about creating a very clear, visual, and importantly, legal boundary.
Okay.
And something important for hunters listening. Remember, you always need permission to be on someone's land, period. Doesn't matter if there are signs or not.
Right, the signs are just reinforcement.
Precisely. Permission is the absolute key. Signs just make the private property message undeniable.
Okay, so signs are the first layer. Clear visual warnings. Then the article moves on to people, our network. How does building community help keep trespassers out?
Yeah, this is interesting. It's quite simple, really, but effective. If you clearly communicate to your neighbors, to everyone around your property, that your land is private, you basically enlist more eyes, people become aware, and if you have a decent relationship with those neighbors, the chances go way up that someone will spot something suspicious and maybe let you know.
So it's like creating a neighborhood watch, but specifically for your land boundaries.
Kind of, yeah. It adds the psychological element too. Trespassers might feel like they're being watched more closely by the whole community, not just the landowner.
Okay, I like that. Now, here's where, as you said, it gets really interesting. The source connects trespassing directly to strained relations between hunters and landowners.
Yes, this is often a huge point of friction.
So, what specific issues does the article highlight that hunters especially need to be aware of, things that cause these problems?
Right, it gets into some real specifics here, situations that can escalate quickly. For example, a wounded animal. If you shoot something and it runs onto private property,
Yeah.
you must get the landowner's permission before
Yeah.
going after it, no exceptions. If you can't reach the owner, the advice is to call the local sheriff or the game authority. Don't just cross the property line.
Got it. Permission first, even in that situation. What else?
Blinds or tree stands. Never mount them on power poles. Doesn't matter if the pole looks abandoned or old, it's a definite no-go.
Okay. And what about just using roads or railway lines to get access?
Also addressed. Trespassing to hunt, fish, or trap from roads or railways without legal permission is criminal activity. You can't just use public right-of-ways to access private land.
And the consequences in the article suggest they can be pretty far-reaching.
Oh, absolutely. Get convicted of trespassing in one state, and you could lose your hunting, fishing, or trapping licenses in other states, too. That network between states is getting tighter.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
That's significant.
Yeah, and it really emphasizes the cost. We're talking fines, court fees, potentially jail time, and obviously losing your licenses, maybe for a long time. Big game violations usually mean even harsher penalties.
So it's not just a slap on the wrist.
Not at all. And get this. If a landowner tells you to leave, verbally or in writing, and you ignore them or come back, that can escalate things to what's called intentional criminal hunting, a much more serious charge.
So the message is clear. Respect boundaries, get permission, understand the serious legal and financial risks if you don't.
Exactly. It really underlines that.
Okay, so we've covered clear communication with signs and the power of community vigilance. Now let's talk about the physical stuff barriers.
Right.
The source talks about using both natural and man-made boundaries to boost privacy and deter access.
It does. Planting natural borders is highlighted as a really great way to improve privacy on hunting property.
Mm-hmm.
You know, planting a mix of trees, shrubs, grasses. It creates this living border.
And there's a dual benefit there, isn't there?
Yeah, exactly. It increases privacy, obviously, but it also adds foliage and cover, which is generally good for the wildlife on your property. So it's a win-win. It's like a natural keep-out sign.
Are there faster options if you need privacy sooner rather than later?
Yep. The article mentions things like certain grasses, corn is given as an example that can grow tall pretty quickly, maybe just in a few months. That can give you a faster screen.
Okay, a temporary fix, maybe,
uh-huh.
But for something more permanent.
Trees are the long-term solution. It takes time, obviously. Planting trees is a commitment. But it's presented as a really significant way to improve the land overall.
And the type of tree matters.
Sure. The best type depends entirely on your region. Pine trees are mentioned as a good option in some areas, but you'd need to see what works where you are.
And what about non-natural options, fences?
Yeah, the article touches on that too,
mm-hmm.
implicitly. While natural borders are great, things like wire fences, maybe even electric fences, depending on regulations, offer that immediate, very clear boundary. They just come with different costs, installation effort, and maintenance needs.
So it's about choosing the right barrier for your specific situation, budget, and local rules.
Precisely. Natural, constructed, or maybe even a combination.
Okay, this brings us to the final key area, protecting yourself legally. Understanding your rights as a landowner, but also your potential liabilities. This feels critical.
It absolutely is. It's about long-term protection and, frankly, peace of mind. Knowing what you can legally do to deter trespassers, and maybe more importantly, what you can't do, can save you from some really costly legal headaches down the road.
Because even if someone is trespassing, you could still be held liable if they get hurt.
That's the gist the article flags, yes. Even if they shouldn't have been there, if a trespasser gets injured on your property or causes damage themselves, they might still try to sue you.
Wow. Even if they were in the wrong.
It can happen,
mm-hmm.
Which leads directly to the article's recommendation for achieving, as they put it, sound peace of mind.
Which is?
Getting a vacant land insurance policy. It's presented as a really sensible precaution.
Does the article give examples of why that's so important, like specific scenarios?
It emphasizes that this insurance isn't just about covering potential injury costs. A big part of it is providing for your legal defense. It helps prevent potentially ruinous legal battles, even if the claim against you has no merit.
Ah, so it covers the lawyer fees too.
Exactly. Imagine that scenario. Someone trespasses, twists an ankle, decides to sue you. Even if you eventually win, the legal fees could be enormous. This policy acts as a crucial financial and legal shield for those kinds of unforeseen, frankly unfair, situations.
So it's really about proactive risk management. Protecting your investment and your sanity, basically.
That's a good way to put it. Safeguarding yourself against the what-ifs.
Okay, so wrapping this all up, what does this all mean? It seems managing trespassers effectively isn't about just one thing.
No, definitely not. It requires a multifaceted approach, as we've mm-hmm. discussed. You need that clear communication of the signs, play strategically. You need to leverage your community, get those extra eyes watching.
Right.
You need to think about physical barriers, whether natural or constructed. And crucially, you need that legal awareness and protection, like insurance.
It's a combination of things.
It is. And being well informed about all these strategies, well, that really empowers you, the landowner, to protect your property, your peace of mind, and ultimately the investment you've made in that space.
That makes a lot of sense. So to leave our listeners with something to think about, in our world today, which is so connected, how can these principles we've talked about, clear communication, community building, setting boundaries, how might they apply beyond physical property? Could they protect, say, our personal space online or other kinds of boundaries?
That's a really interesting question.
And maybe what responsibility do we all have, you know, to respect the boundaries in life that aren't clearly posted with a sign, the unposted boundaries, something to chew on?